I'm going to try to run through, highlights of some of the rest of Siman Kuf Yud. We're up to Sif Dalet. Sif Dalet has a case of Sveik Sveik involving Kavua. Rov Chamiyos Mochos Psar Shchuto Miyot Mochos Psar Nevela. Lokach Me'atzmin Ve'inyu De'me'ezim Lokach. Classic case of Kavua. Right, you took from one of the stores and it's considered like 50-50. Vinis Arva Ba'achei Ros Ve'ino Nikeres. And that one you took from the Kavua got mixed in with other pieces of meat. And they're all Chatichos Ruy L'skabed. And you don't know which it is, so it's not Batel. He says, no problem, but Taylor Rome Shum Sveik Sveika. It's still batal in the second one, because Sveik Sveika, meaning any piece of meat from that Taroves, maybe it's the one from the stores, maybe it's not. And even if it is the one from the stores, maybe it's from a kosher store, maybe it's from a treif store. So that's mutter because of Sveik Sveika. At the Ramah, V'yesh Omer Michiai Gavna, Mishum Duchom Makom De Isser Vimkom, Wahab Kemechzam Echza. Some people asher, meaning Svardim are Mekel, and Ashkenazim are Machmir. Why? Because the original case was a Kavua and was considered like half and half. The whole of Asaf Grishin Osher Mer Torah, Kavua is a din the Torah. Since the first Safek is an Isser Doraisa, right? Kavua is an Isser Doraisa. Ve'enkan Otsvek Lahate Rak Taroves, and there's not another Safek, just a Taroves. Lo mikri sveik sveika, v'hachi nohug, it's not called the sveik sveika. And that is the minhag. Okay, this Ramah is based on, this Ramah is based on what we'll see a little later, but the Ramah says that if you have, there's different kinds of sveik sveikas. One kind of suffix is called a suffix beguf, meaning a suffix whether it's usur or mutter. The other kind of suffix is called a suffix tarobis. Like, you know there's an isser here, you just don't know which is the isser, which is the heter. The principle that we'll see later, says the Ramah, is that if you have a suffix that's lachumra, that's an inyan of daraisa, and then it gets mixed up in a tarobis, then you can't call that a sveik sveika. So the Ramah says, based on the principles we have later, you can't call this a sveik sveika, and therefore it is usser. Okay, we'll see those principles in a few moments. Really, based on what we're going to see a little later, the Ramah has the upper hand here. The Ramah has the upper hand because in Sif Ches and Sif Tes, we learn that, what do we learn in Sif Ches? That if you have a taroves plus another taroves, right? Something gets mixed in, and we're talking about dover chashim, it's not bottle, right? A chatik with a skabi gets mixed into one taroves. One of those falls into a second taroves, that's usher, it's not a valid sveik seika. Even though you could ask it as two sveikos, you could say, maybe it's the one from the first taroves, maybe it isn't. And even if it is the one from the first taroves, maybe it was usher, maybe it was mutter, this is no good. Only three tarovos are mutter. But if there's a tarovos and another tarovos, that's not a valid sveik sveika. Likewise, we learn in Siftes, this is all machlokas, this is what you paskin, that if you have a sofek beguf plus a tarovos, so you have an egg that might be treif, might be kosher, gets mixed in with other eggs. You can say sveik sveika, maybe it's the egg that might have been treif, maybe not. And even if it is the egg that might have been treif, maybe it wasn't. We pass it as no good. So therefore, says the Ramah, what's the principle here? The principle is, what's the only kind of taropas that works? The only kind of taropas that works is sveika, there were beis sveikos beguf. That's much because of a sveik sveika. But once you have basically the principle we see later is that once you have a tarovus involved, then you can't count that as towards a sveik sveika. Because a tarovus is not actually regular suffik. It's not like a suffik that is an isser or not. It's a mixture that contains an isser. So if you have three tarovuses, you can call that a sveik sveika. But a tarovus plus a suffik, a real suffik, Or Tarobas plus Tarobas doesn't count as fake Sveika. So how come over here, Kavua plus Tarobas counts as fake Sveika? So here, I'm going to oversimplify here. What if you have Sif Dalet? It's Kavua plus a Tarobas. Right? Meaning real Kavua. Real Kavua. Right? You went to a store, you don't know which store. You take a piece of meat. That meat there is mixed up with other pieces of meat. Can you say Sveik Sveika? Maybe it's the meat from the... I'll pick one piece from this Tarobas. Maybe it's the meat from the store, maybe it isn't. Even if it is the meat from the store, maybe it's from a kosher store. So here, the Mechaber says Mutter, and the Rama says Usser. The Rama clearly has the upper hand, because we know that any kind of Sveik, plus then it gets mixed with Tarobas, doesn't count as Sveik Sveika the way we pass it. Not from the other Rishonim. What's the Svar of the Mechaber? So, there are different opinions of the Svar of the Mechaber. There's a very long gra here, but what's the Svara? According to the Shach, at least, the Svar of the Rambah is that the, you know, a Safek plus a Tarovis doesn't count as a Sveik Sveika, is the way we paskin. What's the Svar of the Mechaber? Says the Shach, because Kavua is a Chiddush, and therefore Ein L'Chavua L'Chidusho, since Kavua is a Chiddush that it's Aser, it's only when you have Kavua by itself that we're Machmir, but if you have Kavua plus some other Safek, even the way that wouldn't normally count as a Sveik Sveika, we're Meiko. Right? Kavua is a Chiddush, and even though this not such a Pashat Svara, so what if it's a Chiddush? It's Aser, but since Kavua is a Chiddush, therefore we're more Meikel, and if we have Kavua plus a Tarobes, we use this as a Sveik Sveika.
Is Kavua Safek B'Guf?
So it's interesting, is Kavua Safek B'Guf, or is Kavua considered a Safek B'Tarobes? That depends on what we discussed last time, right? According to the way I want to be Masber, Kavua is more like a Safek B'Tarobes, right? According to the other way of understanding it, Kavua is a Safek B'Guf. So that's not clear, and that... You know, that seems to be, even though they're not addressing this quite mefurish, you get different impressions from different places in the Shach, it could be that you can die with machlokes nechronim here, but, you know, not in a very clarifying way. Okay, that is Sif Dalet. Let's go on to Sif Hey. Mi shalakach basar mea makolin. And again, all this background for Sif Dalet we'll explain in a few moments. Okay, this is a case that the Rush and the Rashba deal with. It's not a case in the Gemara. Makolin means butcher, right? So someone who took bought meat from a butcher, and we're going to read it the standard way that we understand the case, not the Tazos way, not the Bach's way. And even it's a chatichu rilis kabed, and then it was found to be have a treifa in the makolin. V'lo nodu chatichus a treifa. V'en yedei meizom lakach. Right, so this is not a real kavua case. There's only one store. This is a chatichu rilis kabed kind of kavua drabanan case. The butcher store sold a lot of big pieces of meat. At the time, you thought they were all kosher, and so did everyone else. Iglai melso l'mafreya. Now that some of the pieces were traced, some were kosher, it was a tarobas, a chatichu rilis kabed, it should all be usher. So do we say that l'mafreya, it's now a tarobas, a chatichu rilis kabed, and it's kavua d'rabban and usher? Or no, we don't go l'mafreya. Right now you have one piece of meat at home, called the parish. Maybe we'll parish.
Is this the case you brought as an afkamina last year?
This is the case that we discussed last year, that, remember, that was the machaber said, hey, we discussed last year. I'll mention it in a second. So what do you have? If you look at it, again, lima freya, then you took from a taroves of chatichu rilis kabed, right? Or what we call kavua midrabanan. And therefore it's asur. But if we look at it, mikan ulahaba, then, one piece was parish, and then you have one piece that's parish. You didn't take from any kavua. Right now, the piece was parish already. One piece is parish, and it's probably mutter. obviously, this case is only an interesting case if most of the meat in the store is kosher, right? If most of the meat in the store is treif, then of course it's treif. If most of the meat in the store is kosher, let's say they shechted 10 animals that day, and one of them turned out to be treif. And they didn't know at the time, but now they know. So do you look at it, Freya, and say, I took from the Tarus Chatir with this Kabin, I took from Kabu and it's Asr? Or do you look at it, Mikan Lahaba, and say, right now, call the Parish, remove a Parish, I have one piece in my house, this piece is probably kosher, it's only one piece. So the answer is, Koma Shalachim, Ema Kolum Kodushim, say, Trefa Mutter, Shalonaf Lasav, Gavua El Acher Shapire, Shapire, Tarov Kosher, Mutter. Okay, that's what we Paskin. That's what the Rashba says, that's what the Rush says, that's what the Mechaber says, right? Rashba, Rush, Mechaber. We Paskin Mutter. You don't go back to my Freya and now see it as a Kavua Shaila. No, we can all have you of one piece that's parish. The latest hasafik was be parish, not be kavua. Right? That's the point. You look here, the latest hasafik was in a case of parish. The suffik only emerged when there was one piece parish in your house. So call the parish, maybe we'll be parish. What we saw last time was, excuse me, the machlokas between the Shach and everyone else, right? If you remember, the machlok between the Shach and everyone else we saw that we put on the board last time is, what's the machlok between the Shach and everyone else? Says the Shach, yeah, if you have kavua midrabanan, then you say, you look at it, mikan olahaba, and you say that's called parish. But if you would have kavua mamish, minatora, a real kavua case, then you would have to go back and see this kavua lemafreya. You'd have to go back to lemafreya and say you took from the kvius.
What's the difference?
Kavua midrabanan means a taroves of chaticha rilis kavit. That's kavua midrabanan. It's just the rechashiv she'enu batal, which we nickname Kavua Miran. Kavua Mamish means that the Isser...
Because Midaraisa there is...
What?
Because Midaraisa there is Bottle.
Exactly. Midaraisa is Bottle. Is Isser Kavua V'Nikr B'Mkomo like Teisha Chanuyos. Right? Kavua Midaraisa is each store is Kavua V'Nikr B'Mkomo. That's Kavua Midaraisa. Kavud Rabbanah means you have to roll with the Rechasha. Of course, Midaraisa is bottle. It's only Rabbanah that's not bottle. And we treat it like Kavua. So when's the Shaila of a Midrabbanah and the Rechasha in a bottle? You don't have to go back to Mafreya and say you took from a Tarovis. You just let me kind of have you have one piece at home. You want to know what the status is. Status is kosher. But says the Shach, when you have a Shaila of Midaraisa, you went to, you took from a store without looking, without checking. And now you don't know which store you took from.
Is the practical difference in this case because it's from one store and then it was...
Yes, because here it's a jumble in one store. You don't know which is which. Nothing's fixed, just pieces of meat. I didn't answer your question fully because I'm going to need to come back to that in 2 minutes.
It's still, in the case that we're saying, is there kavua midor, the raisa, it's still chatifa really iskabi, that's just not a factor?
Yeah, it wouldn't make a difference. It's also the raisa anyway, who cares if it's... That's the Shach, and we pointed out all the other Achronim who we paskin like, right? We don't paskin like the Shach here. They all point out that the Shach has a very dochuk. The Ra'ah agreed, but who cares about the Ra'ah? We care about the Rashba. Shach and the Ra'ah agreed to the Rashba. The other Achronim say, no. Always, or rather, we never go l'mafreya. We always ask Mikanu Lahaba, and if we always ask Mikanu Lahaba, then it's always a Shaila Parish. There's no difference whether it's Kavua D'Oraisa or Kavua D'Rabbanan, etc. We never say Kavua L'Mafreya. Meaning, if the latest stuff was originally, you were just too stupid to know, then you took from Kavua its Asr. Because the latest of something only emerged after you took it home, and this piece was already separated, then you only have a Shaila this one piece. And you don't go to Mafreya and say, but I got it from the store, or I got it from the group, etc. That's called the Parsha Merubah Parsha. We paskin like the other achronim that we take this principle in the first half of Sif Hey, that we don't say Lemafreya took it from Kviyos. We say Mikan Lahaba. It's just a Shiloh one piece that was Parsha. Now it's Bein Bekavod Araisa, Bein Bekavod Rabbanan. That's how we paskin. Again, going back to Muncie Butcher. Let's say you only bought chicken once, and you don't know which butcher you bought it from. And then you discover one Burchasaurus trait for the rest were kosher. Then you don't call them a friend and say, well, I bought it from one of a group of stores and I don't know which, the Kavok Mechza Mechza. Rather, you say, right now, Mikan Lahaba, I have one piece at home. That piece is Parsh. And Parsh, called the Parsh Merubah Parsh, we follow the robe and it's kosher. Now, that didn't help most of the people in Muncie because they had bought many pieces from all the butcher shops over the years. But it would help someone who only, like, you know, bought something without crying. That is the first half of Sif Hey. And that's pretty poshut. What does the second half say? Avalikach mikan ve'elach. What about buying from now on? From now on, now that you know there's a suffix, so what happens from now on in this butcher store? From now on in this butcher store, you have a taroves of meat. Some usher pieces, and some mutter pieces. And you don't know which are which, obviously. They're not really different colors. So what's the status here? So this is a classic case of... Seems to be a classic case of tarovas of pieces of meat. What's the class... What's the din of tarovas of pieces of meat, anyone? If it's really copy, they're all lusser. If it's any really copy, they're all mutter. Okay, remember Simon Kof Tess. If they're all mutter, you don't eat them all at once. But see, it's a big butcher store. No one's going to eat them all at once. So says the Rashba, Avalikach mikan ve'elach aser, says the Rashba, here's the machlokes, the Rashba and the Tur and the Rush. Says the Rashba, this is called likach mikan ve'elach. Like buying from now on, nothing to do with Lama Freya. Right? Now, you want to know what to do with the butcher shop. So he says, the chatichos horilis kabed are all aser medina. That's clear. It's a taros chatichos horilis kabed. What about the small pieces? How about the chatichos ketanos? What would you think? They'd be mutter. You'd think they'd be mutter because the treif ones are bottom the kosher ones. However, says the Rashba, v'afilu chatichos shein horilis kabed. Why? She'ena kol b'kiyam hazeh v'yitu bein horilis kabed shein ru'uya. Because people will make a mistake. So this is mutter medina, the aser mishon chashtos. But it's aser because you tell people, what are you going to tell people? The rabbi's going to announce. You should know, Shlomi's butcher shop, all the big pieces in the butcher shop are treif, only small pieces are kosher. It's very confusing. People end up getting confused, and therefore they made a minhag to aser it all. Explains the shach, since this is not medina, it's only usher in a store. But let's say it would be like a private house, or let's say a factory where there was one mashgiach who just told them what to do with everything. Then it would be mutter. Then it would be mutter. Because then there's no opportunity for confusion. Right? So it's usher in a place where the rabbim are there might get confused. But if it's a place where a yachid's there, there's a yachid there, then it's not usher.
So likewise, a store where a mashgiach could just throw out all the
pieces. So that's an interesting question. What if you had a store where the mashgiach could throw out all the big pieces? Would you say that, you know, once the mashgiach throws out all the big pieces, now there's no need for gzeira anymore? Or would you say this gzeira of the Rashba was already chal?
Well, it's not really
Xavier,
right? It's just the
minhag. Yeah, I mean, it's not Xavier we find in Chazal. That's for sure.
Isn't it just like practical?
So the Prima Gadim deals with this. And the Prima Gadim Taka says, yeah, if you throw out all the big pieces, then it becomes mutter to take the small ones. So he says, Hovdalil Osmalei, it's an added non-post-Talmudic gzeira. Okay, so therefore, this is not across the board. That, who cares, that's not Medina? The answer is, it's not across the board. Ashim Shum Kshashtos in a situation that would lead to a toes.
Also, really small pieces would probably be mutter. There's no chashash toes.
No, what do you mean? People think of the small piece of mutter, the big piece of mutter.
Okay. I thought it was toes, like, discerning.
No, it's just toes that people won't remember to differentiate between pieces and pieces. I mean, you ask, tell anyone nowadays, you tell, like, you go in your average young Israel and you announce that. In this particular store, like, these things are kosher, these things are treif. For sure someone will eat the treif things. People get confused. And you talk about hundreds of people, right? So 10% of them are going to be confused. Keep in mind, some people are not as smart as other people. And even things that are posh, people get confused about. You tell them, this store is kosher, this store is treif, so they won't get confused.
Sometimes the toppings and the ice cream.
Yeah, so I think, I don't know what people do, but I bet if you ask the Rashba, he would say, no, just, you're not allowed to shop in that ice cream store, because people are going to get confused. Okay? Maybe they didn't ask the Rashba, I don't know. You know, it's always a question of these things, like, since, you know, do you apply this to things not the case of the Rashba, or the minhag is only in this case? All right, so let's say we're not going to spread this on our own, but you have to use common sense. Fine, that's the Rashba, and that's logical. However, the Rush and the Tor say something strange. What do they say? Chaticho Riliskabit is Osir Medina, and Chatichos Ktanos, also Osir Medina. It's all Osir Medina. Why? Because of Kavua. Not that we have any idea what they mean by that. Right? So this is strange. Now, obviously we don't paskin like the Rush and the Tor, right? Because look, you know, that's not what the Shulchan Aruch says, but we still want to know what they meant. Beis Yosef can't really figure out what they meant. What did they mean? Why is the small pieces kavua? There's clearly nothing kavua. This is a classic tarovas of unidentifiable pieces. It's not real kavua. And it's not the rechashim, it's small pieces. What could they have meant? So here there are two theories what they meant. Two theories what the Rosh Hashanah Torah meant. If I recall correctly, Beis Yosef didn't have a theory. He just says it's very strange, and then piles on a bunch of theories, says, I don't know. But in the Achronim, there are two theories what they meant. The Taz and the Bach and Darkei Moshe, and a few others. What do they mean? What do they mean by this? So, okay. We have to make ourselves a new section here. What do they mean by this? So one answer is the Taz. The Taz says it's very pashut. The Taz says what they meant by kavua is chatichu riliskabed. Even the small chatichos are also because of the chatichu riliskabed. Why would that be? So the Taz says you have to be consistent. All the pieces came from the same animals. Meaning, it's not like you had small pieces from this schlacht house and big pieces from that schlacht house. They're all from the same animals. So if the big pieces are treif, how could the small pieces be kosher? They're all from the same animals. Either the animal's treif or it's kosher. Like, it's just illogical. Not because of confusion. It's illogical, batsim, to say that all the big pieces are treif because we're chosheish that they came from the treif animal. But the small pieces are kosher because they didn't come from the treif animal. How could it be that the small pieces didn't come from the treif animal and the big pieces did come from the treif animal? It's the same animal. It's illogical. Now, that didn't bother anyone else. Because everyone else said, it's not that we're saying that it came. It's just a rule of bittul. But the Taz thinks you have to be consistent. This is a das yachid. He's not even saying we paskin this way. He's just saying, meaning it's only the Taz interpretation of the rush we don't paskin like. But he says you have to be consistent. Therefore, if the big pieces are treif and they're from the same animal, the small pieces are also treif.
Does it have to do with
Kavua Knechta Nachanami?
Which is what they said.
Because Kavua means Chatzich Rilis Kabeis. He meant Kavua Drabana, not literal Kavua. Kavua, what he means is that since a Chatzich Rilis Kabeis and Drabana is called Kavua and it's Kamechta Mechta, so how could the big piece of Mechta Mechta, not the small pieces?
Okay.
I admit it's not the simplest shot in his words.
Fair.
Okay, so that's the Taz says. He says it is out of consistency. Why? If the big pieces are usser and the small pieces are from the same animal as the big pieces, you put two and two together, the small pieces also have to be usher. The small pieces are also usher. That's the Taz. However, as Chesky pointed out, he shouldn't have said because of Kavua. Should have said because of Chatzim HaRilis Kavet. I know you can use the Lashon loosely, but like, you shouldn't make an extra effort to use the Lashon loosely. So the Taz, the Bach, and the Dark Emotion, this is a big, big issue. I think I had like three big issues in Kavua on the board last time. Issue number one, Pirush Fanim. Issue number two, Kavua L'Mafreya. This is issue number three. Says the Bach and the Darki Moshe, they change the scenario. They say, no, no, no. The Rush wasn't talking about the scenario you thought of one butcher shop. The Rush was talking about 10 butcher shops. And one was treif. 10 butcher shops, one is treif. So isn't that Sif Gimel? Says, no, no, no. Slightly different than Sif Gimel. Right? He makes an Okimta. Right? The Okimta is that you have 10 shops, and each slaughtered only one animal. Not one shop that slaughtered many animals. There are 10 butchers. They each shechted one cow. And what happens? They each shechted one cow, and let's say they sold the... pick a gross part that we don't like to eat. Although, for all I know, it's delicious. You know, they sold the small intestines to the sausage manufacturer. He came with a little cart, he bought 10 small intestines, and there's a very Yerushalayim sausage manufacturer. When he got to his sausage plant, he saw there was a hole in one of them. Treifa, one cow's treif. There's no way to know which intestine goes to which cow. So all we know is that one of these stores is totally treif and nine are totally kosher. Ah, that's Kavua. 9 kosher stores, 1 treif store. That's what the Rush meant. Then they debate. Did the Rush really argue with the Rashba, or maybe they were just talking about different cases? Right? And therefore, one store is treif, 9 stores are kosher. So this is real Kavua. That's what the Rush meant. He says, why are you giving me Rulis Kame here? This is real Kavua. You have 9 kosher stores and 1 treif store. We just don't know which is which. That is the way the Bach and the Darkei Moshe explain the Rush. Now, this brings up a very, very big machlokas. Because in what way is this different from the classic case of Teisha Chanuyos? You don't know which is which, right? Not just you don't know. Meaning nobody knows. It's not that you're an idiot. It's not known which is which, right? This brings up the big, big, big machlokes, and here we'll call this issue number 3. What about Kavua Binkomo, the Eino Nicker? Is it real Kavua Midoraisa if you have 10 stores? Kavua Binkomo, each store is in its own place, it's fixed in place. But it's not Nikar, you can't tell which is the kosher store, which is the treif store. Is that called Kavua Midoraisa or not? You don't know which store is which. Is that called Kavua Midoraisa or not? If you don't know which store is which. So, says the Tosfos and the Rashba and most Poskim, says this is not considered Kavua. This is not considered Kavua. You want to know if it's mutter or aser, so go to the rules of Chatichorilis Kabe, Einorilis Kabe. But there's nothing Kavua about this. You want to know if it's Dabar Chashem, so go to the rules of Dabar Chashem. But there's nothing Kavua. This is not what's called Kavua. Tosos and the Rashba and most Tosos say explicitly, the rule D'Oraisa Kavua is only things that are identifiable, that are recognizable. And you just didn't pay attention. That's what's called Kavua. But if they're authentically indistinguishable, like this case in the stores, then that's not called Kavua. However, the Bach is very convinced that's the Shach there is a sheet that in the Rishonim like the Bach, not in the sheet of Kubetzes like this, but the Bach and other poskim say this is real kavua mida oraisa. Okay, some later are going to be in between shita, maybe it's the rabbanon, but
is it the rush also holds that?
Oh, that's only one pshat in the rush.
Right, if you hold up the bow.
If you have this pshat in the rush, then yes. But who knows if that's the right pshat in the rush. Maybe.
There's no other indication in the rush.
No, there's no other indication in the rush. so we're not sure. I don't think there's okay, at least not that I can recall offhand. Let's say that much.
Does the Ramah hold this? I just hold it. Could be...
Aha! Uh-huh. So it's not clear. Not clear. Not clear. He doesn't really. That's a very good question. He didn't say explicitly, although one the pshat would be that he's agreeing if he's explaining this way, right? Right. So this is a big question. Like, what's within this gzeiros hakasa of kavua midaraisa? Anything in place, or only things that are in place and identifiable? Right. Big machlokas. Again, all the rishonim who are explicit about this. Basically, all the rishonim who are explicit about this are only kavua bimkavua. Like. There's also famous the Sefer Krisos, the Rash Kinon, one of the Bali Tosos sort of book called Sefer Krisos, which is about like general rules of Shas, and in it he has the question. He says he has a fascinating question. He says, "Well, he can be the Dayek that there was once an Egla Arufa. Well, let's grant the Diuk. There was once an Egla Arufa, right? If you want to, you can say there was never an Egla Arufa." And it was like in Sora Mora, etc. But let's say there's once an Egla Rufa. Once there's an Egla Rufa, what are you not allowed to do to that real estate?
Use it.
You're not allowed to plant it anymore, right? Says, if there's once an Egla Rufa, then there's one field in Israel where you're not allowed to plant. And that's Kavua B'Mkomo. Right? It doesn't move. It's real estate. So therefore, you're not allowed to plant anywhere in Israel. Because Kavua Kemetza Metza Dami. So you shouldn't be allowed to have agriculture in Israel. Until Eliyahu Navi comes and with Ruach HaKodesh tells us where there was an Egla Rufa and where there wasn't. Okay, clever question. His answer is, no, that's silly. Kavua midaraisa, kavua is only if it's nikar b'mkomo, so identifiable, and you didn't pay attention. But here it's not identifiable. Whatever information we have has been lost to the sands of history, and therefore that's not called kavua. Right? Like Tosfos and the Rash, like most Rishonim, kavua is only nikar b'mkomo. However, there is this, and the Shach goes back and forth about this. He says, the Bach thinks this is called Kavua. You should know it's not so posh. A lot of Rishonim are against that. Well, in some places, he seems like he's questioning the Bach. Other places, he seems like he's still going to be Machra like the Bach. Not clear. A lot of the classic Achronim sound more like the Bach here. That they would be Machra in this case. This could be, Lemaisa in... I don't know, you have to figure out, like, exactly... but you can imagine that there could be many cases. You have to discuss, like an Orla, this would be a big issue. Now, what if one tree out of a field of 10,000 is Orla and no one knows which? Trees are clearly kavua. They don't move. So would you say that's kavua midaraisa, or would you say not? That depends on the Snachlokas. Lemaisa, a lot of the early Achronim sound like they're Machmer on this. But the later Achronim, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chazon Ish, go back to the Sugyas and the Rishonim and say that, no, we really are not Machper on this. That's not the Pashas of Shas. That's not what all the Rishonim say. And Lamaisa, the modern-day Achronim, the Aruch HaShulchan, Chazon Ish, and others, Paskin, like Tosos and the Rashba, and saying that, nope, this is not called Kavua. It's only called Kavua if there's some way to recognize which is Asher, which is Mutter in its place. Like people, you could just ask them their name. Or like stores that are generally kosher or treif, where you could just, you know, look at the Tuda, or even before the ideas of Tuda, ask anyone in the street, you know, the guy who looks like this behind the counter is on this street, is that kosher or treif? However, in a case like this, where there's no way to know which store is kosher, which store is treif, we would not call that kavua. We would not call that kavua. We would just call that a tarovus of meat. And if there's a tarovus of meat, then we'd go back to the Rashba and say the big pieces of meat are aser, because tarovus of chatilu really skabed, and the small pieces of meat are aser because of confusion. Yeah, we'd say all 10 are one big tarovus of big pieces of meat, and they're aser.
And something was once known and then was forgotten or lost, does that like shift into being not bigger then?
Yes.
comparable to that, or just
yes, about, yes, comparable to the famous question of the Sefer Krisus. Right. Okay, so that is the second big issue here in Sif Hei, and Zev, or whoever's. Yeah. Then we'll move on to Sif Vav. Sifvav, the Gemara asks in Zvachim, in Perek HaTarovus, says, what is the, remember, the 8th Perek of Zvachim, how does it start? If you have 1,000 karbonos, and one posel animal gets mixed in, I mean, and you can't tell which it is, I don't mean a donkey gets mixed in, then you just take it out. A shor hanisko gets mixed in. They all look the same, you can't tell which is the shor hanisko. Or shenevda v'alveira, or etc., etc. Then, they're all posel. Case of Shor Nisko Pashtas, it's Asur Anah, so they're all Asur Anah even. Right, they're all Asur. Agav, that reminds me of something which, if you'll forgive me, I meant to mention much earlier. But I'll mention it now, I apologize. The Shas of Cutting Bays says something important about a Taruvus of things that are Asur Anah. What if you have a taroves of things that are treif to eat but mutter b'hana, and it's a davar chashiv, so it's not batal. So what do you do with that? Where chatichu is kabed, one nevela and 100 shchuta. So what do you do practically?
Sell it to a guy,
right? Okay, there's a halacha you should know all over Shas. Whenever you sell treif to a guy, it has to be in a way that he won't resell it to a Jew, meaning he can't have like, you know, kosher packaging on it or something. Fine, so you take off the OU and you sell it to a guy. What if it's Isser Hanah? What if you have one piece of Basar B'Cholav or, you know, some sort of Pasal Kudshim or etc. or Shor Niskal, and that gets mixed up with 100 pieces. They're all Isser Hanah. So what do you do then? You can't sell them all to a guy, then you're getting Hanah.
You sell them without getting the one.
Yes. So here there are two potential, just fill in from Sif Aleph, Shach Sif Katan Beis, right? What do you do practically if you have a taroves of an Eser Hana'ah that's Chashav, right? That's not Batal. So, what do you do? One solution is mocher la'akom chutz midmei iser. You sell it to a guy except for the price of the iser. Well, let's say it's 101. So you sell it for the price of 100. And then you're not being nemeh from, basically you sell the guy the 100 mutter ones, whichever they are, and you don't sell him the other one. He just gets that for free. So then you're not being nene from the Isser. Now, obviously, it has to be honest, meaning you can't say, let's negotiate a price. I'm giving you 101 for the price of 100, and I'll charge, you know, 50 bucks for the 100. No, then clearly you charge 101. You have to say, I'm selling 100. And, you know, how much you get? Oh, 50 bucks for 100, great. Okay, here's the 100. If it's around 100, it's a little more, then don't worry about it. Okay, so then you only charge for 100. He got that one for free. That's a lot. That's what you do lamaisa in such circumstances. What's controversial, he points out, the machlokas between the Ravid and the other Rishonim is, what about this case? Mashlich. Demei Isser Liyam HaMelach. Right? Mashlich. Demei Isser Liyam HaMelach. Yam HaMelach is Lavdavka. It just means you flush down the toilet, right? You, let's say they're each worth $10. You take a $10 bill and you rip it up. Right? And then you can be nana for all of them because Lamaisa, you weren't because you lost the same $10. Right? No. What about this? Let's say they're each worth $10. So you're getting an extra $10 hana, but you ripped up a $10 bill, so you're losing it. So in the end, you don't get any hana from the Isser. Does that work or not? So this is the machlokis between the Ravid and the other Rishonim. Says the Ravid, he says this works. However, says the Shach, al pi shar Rishonim, because it's actually a Mefurish Gemara. He says, nope. It doesn't work for most Isurim. Here, paradoxically, it only works for Avodah Zarah, which is paradoxical, because usually we're not more Mekel in Avodah Zarah than other Isurim. Usually we're more Machra in Avodah Zarah. But that's we Paskin, the Shach Paskins, like the other Rishonim against the Ravid, that this trick of you throw the Hanot to Yam HaMelach, like you break even in the end, that doesn't work. And we understand why it doesn't work, because I really am being nana from the Isser. The fact that I also ripped up a $10 bill is not connected to this Isser. Right? Meaning, there's no intrinsic connection that makes it undo that hana. They're two separate things. So I lost money here, I made money there, that's still called hana. Right? Everyone knows if I go to business and I lose money on Tuesday, make money on Wednesday, I still make money on Wednesday. So says the Shach, quoting the Rishonim, he says, you know why this only works in Avodah Zarah? Because in Avodah Zarah, there's a special din. If I sell Orla and Klai Akerim, which I shouldn't, what's the status of the money? And Basar Bechalov and Seir Nazir and Petar Chamor and etc. The money is Mutter. If I sell Avodah Zarah, the money is Asr. Avodah Zarah is the only Isra Hanah. Shvius is not an Isra Hanah. Avodah Zarah is the only Isra Hanah. And Hektish also, that's not a classic Isra Hanah. Avodah Zarah is the only real Isra. That's Tofes Domov, that the Isser transfers to the money. Now, it doesn't go off the Avodah Zarah, it just transfers to the money. Right? The Isser transfers to the money. So therefore, says the Shach, says, in Avodah Zarah, there's a connection. Because since the Isser of Avodah Zarah can transfer the money, therefore we can say, this $10 bill is connected to the Avodah Zarah. Because the Isser can transfer onto the $10 bill. Since it's connected, so it undoes that of the Avodah Zarah. But if I have other Isurim, like Basar B'chalov and Arla, then there's no this $10 bill is not connected, because you can't transfer Isur from Arla to a $10 bill, or from Basar B'chalov to a $10 bill, and therefore this trick doesn't work. You have to use the first trick. Okay, halacha l'maisa, we pass this trick only works for Avodah Zarah. Let's say you have, I don't know, you're a shekel macher, back for like the 1 week when everyone held that the Indian shekels were over Asur to Avodah Zarah, right? Or let's say, what?
That's not true anymore.
I have no idea.
The post-Gemara world.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my impression. Let's say you have one Avodah Zarah sheitel in your store and 100 regular sheitels. So then, since it's Avodah Zarah, you could just say each sheitel costs $1,000. I'll rip up $1,000. And then I can sell them all. Actually, that gets a little...
Does it have to be after you sell them?
That gets a little... And because since the Isser of the Shetel can theoretically transfer to $1,000, it's connected. Once it's connected, I've like undone the Hana, and since we don't rice, it's really bottle anyway. Right?
Because of Lo Yad, and therefore, I thought everyone.
It is. No. Yeah, you're right.
Loses it.
You're right. It's not that the Isser goes off the Sheikh Law to the $1,000. It's just that...
You're not quoted.
There is... Okay, let me review how this trick works. Right. Really, Midoraisa is Batal Baruv. It's only Midorabon, it's not Batal Baruv. So they were Makel, if you, like, lose money and there's some way to connect it, that's good enough. But there has to be some way to connect it. So in Avodah Zarah, there's some way to connect it, because at least there's some idea of connecting money to Avodah Zarah. And therefore, you can be Makel. But if it would have been Vasar B'Chalav, right, then that wouldn't have been... an option. Okay, let's go back to where we were. We're up to Sifvav. Sifvav is, I just remembered that because we discussed the beginning of Perkat Harulis. Remember, you're stuck here. One Shor HaNiskal gets mixed in with 100 Karbonos. Now, you can't even like sell them all to a guy except for the money of Shor HaNiskal, because you can't sell the Karbonos to a guy. Right? So now you're in trouble. Right? So they all die. That's it. You lose them all. You have to just wait for them all to die. You can't even actively make them die. So you're stuck. The Gemara says, hold on, I have a good idea. It's only Asur when they're Kavua, right? Let's say one of these oxes would run away and I would find him on the street. Then what would the din be?
Okay.
Called a parsh. Remember a parsh? I found it on the street. I know it came from this Tamarubas. That's your wool. Parish, you know it came from somewhere. Didn't spontaneously appear. It wasn't created with Sefer Yetzirah. It obviously came from the stores. The point is, if I find it on the street and I don't find it in the stores, that's called Parish. So if one ox escapes and I find it on the street, not in the pen with the others, that's called Parish and it's Mutter. The Gemara says, very clever. Why not just cramp them all in some space with a rickety fence? Nechbashinu. Squish them all together in intolerable conditions, deny D, and or just squish them from one side, make them all run away. Why not just make them all run away and be parish? Right? Right now, there's a group of 100 oxen. That's a problem. So just make them all run away, and then we'll say each ox is called a parish, move a parish, and solve the problem. Again, that doesn't work with Chatir or Liskabit, because it doesn't have legs anymore. But with live animals, that would be a great solution. Just make them be parish.
Then why can't you take the Taros and just bring it to a different place and spread them all out?
No, because then you can't take it from the Kavua. That's called Kavua. It's only parish if it leaves the Kavua on its own.
Here, it's on their own, you're not...
Yeah, Nechmashin, who you just pin them in a certain direction the right way, and then on their own, and not only that, remember we said if you see it leave the Kavu, it's a problem? So great, just put the fence in the right place, turn around, light a firecracker, steer the wall when you're not looking, open the door, light a firecracker with your back turned, and then walk down the street, and each one you find is parish. Right? Good trick.
That's taking it.
No, it's not. Because you didn't see it leave the kvias. You found it on the street.
I
think
example. Cases with the meat that you could also arrange for it to...
Okay, great. So do that also. You just have to be a little extra clever. Right? I don't let a bunch of cats loose, whatever. If you're clever enough, fine. And Hanami. Right? Great. Bring a bunch of hungry cats... and let them loose in the store of the Chatigori Liskabed, and then walk down the street, and each time you see a cat, take the meat from him and say, Parish. Okay, same idea. A little less sanitary, but in those days, they weren't so awkward.
Cats weren't as dirty.
In those days, the people were as dirty as the cats, anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. So, says the Gemara, sounds like a good idea, Midoraisa, but Asher Midorabanan, Gzeira Shem, Yikach Min HaKavua. A Gzeira on Parish Atu Kavua. Now, all the Rishonim had a question. You might think the answer is obvious, but it's okay, just tolerate the question for a minute. In the case of, let's say, a Taroves of Bali Chaim, Taroves of animals, what do we say? When the Gemara says, why not just make them be parish? The Gemara says, Gzeira parish atu kavua. Right? What we call Shema yikach min hakavua. If we let you do this trick and do these roundabout ways to make it parish on its own, you'll end up just taking from the kvius. However, what about the original case of Teisha Chanuyos? Is Parish Mutter or it's Usser? We know by Teisha Chanuyos, Parish is Mutter. There's no Xavier, right? Parish is Mutter Lagamre. Why not Xavier Shemi Yikach Ben Akavua? Why not Xavier Shemi Yikach Ben Akavua in that case? So don't answer yet. Okay, and keep in mind, don't answer Dereis Drabanan. That's the wrong way. This is a Kavua Drabanan, and yet we're Machra and Parish to Kavua. That's Kavua Dereisa. So, now I know you're going to think the answers are obvious. Okay, what answer do you think is obvious? I mean, even if you haven't seen the Rishonim?
You mentioned it yourself.
What?
I said, well, the Risham. And we're not dealing with
the Risham. And you said?
In the case that we're Gozer, it's where you did it.
Aha, good. Okay, those are the two common answers in the Rishonim. You should know there's a third answer in the Rishonim. First, I'll say the answer that you didn't think of. Why? Because it's not an obvious svara. Says, Tosfos b'shem Rabbeinu Tam. Not the Rabbeinu Tam most people quote. He says that no. B'kodshem gazru, b'chulen lo gazru. It's a special tzair in kodshem. After all, he says, the sugya there in Perek Zerov was not about animals. It was specifically about karbanos. It's a chomer of kodshem.
Right.
Yeah. It's a chomer of kodshem, in which case, for us, there's no gzera. Unfortunately, Bava Nusayin, we don't yet have kodshem. Okay, hopefully we will soon. But right now, there's no such gzera. However, that's not a mainstream shita. The mainstream shitas are Zev and Chesky, or we could call it the Rashba, who's quoting Rabbeinu Tam, and the Shiltos, and of course many others. That's one shot. Rashba, who quotes Rabbeinu Tam, and agrees. Right? This is a sheet of Rashba. It's called a sheet of Rabbeinu Tam by most Achronim, because even though that Rabbeinu Tam is in Tosos, this Rabbeinu Tam gets repeated more. I guess there was the Machlokas, what Rabbeinu Tam said. And the Shiltos. And the third sheet is the Re and the Rush. The, without prejudice in the order, I'm just going from Mekel to Machmer. The Shiltos and Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashba, or one version of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashba, said like Zev. Said, look at the case in the Gemara. That case wasn't where it was parish on its own. It's where you did a trick to make it parish. Okay, if you do a trick, then it makes sense to make it xera. Right? After all, if you can do a trick and cause parish, you're going to end up just taking from the kavua without the trick. Like, this kind of trick is not going to convince anyone. Halachically, it makes a difference. But people are just going to stop being mekel, for sure. If you told someone, well, you could turn your back and light a firecracker and make them all run around and then collect them and it'll be mutter, people will just say, I'll just take one and it'll be mutter. But that's not true, because they took one from the Tavros, which is Gavua. So here is where Hefrisho Biyodayin, and here is Piresh Me'elav. If it was pierced by itself, then there's no Xera. That's not going to lead to a problem. But if you did a trick to be mafreshit, then they made the Xera. That's what Zev thought, right?
Yeah.
Chesky is a very macher fellow. He says, like the Re. Says, no, the difference is, and again, this only works if not according to the Bach, according to the standard approach. He says, very simple. Are you going to come to take from the Kavua in the case of Teisha Chanuyos? Remember, according to the way we paskind, what's the case of Teisha Chanuyos? They're not just in place. They are recognizable. So, if you are aware, if you're not aware there's an issue, there's no point making Xera. Let's say you're not aware that there are different stores and that they have different statuses. There's no point making Xera on you, right? And if you are aware there's an issue, then are you going to come to take from the Kavua? Well, you do. You'll just buy from the kosher stores and not from the trafe store. After all, what are you, a Russia? You're going to go to a trafe store and buy? Meaning, you're not going to take from the Kavua. Wait, you're a Russia? You're going to close your eyes and go to a store and buy when you know that one of them is trafe? No, you'll just look.
If you are, we're not making
Xera. Right. And if you are, the Xera is not going to help. As opposed to this case, you have 100 cows, you can't tell which is which. Then, even if you're not a Russia, let's say you're a Bainity. You're not a Tzaddik. You're a Bainity. You're going to be tempted to say, look, 99 out of 100 cows are kosher. Come on, the odds are so strong on my behalf, I'm sure God wouldn't mind if I just took one cow from this Tarovis and ate it. After all, 99% okay. That's better than most people. Right? So it's very easy to be... to justify, and here this is the case. This is the case where the Isser, what's the key? The key is the Isser is not Nicker. So someone might take from the Kavua, meaning from the Tarovis. Obviously not if they're big tzaddik and Yerei Shamayim, but a Beinoni might be tempted. In this case, the Isser is Nicker. Atzer Brishias, you know what? Someone's going to go and purposely buy from a treif store? Obviously the guy's not going to buy from a treif store. Right? And therefore, like, again, if the guy doesn't know there's a treif store, there's no point making Xera. He doesn't even know there's Xera. And if he does know there's a treif store, he'll just look and not buy from the treif store. Right? So, no one would purposely buy from the treif store. Like, just not Shaykh Xera. If he doesn't know there's a treif store, then he doesn't know there's Xera. And if he knows there's a treif store, he's not going to buy from there. It's just there's no temptation. In real Kavua, everything's recognizable. There's no temptation. You'll just see which is kosher, which is treif, and buy from the kosher. The only time there's temptation is in Durabana Kavua of a Tarovas Dar Chashav. Then there's a temptation because you don't know which is kosher, which is treif, and you might be tempted to eat it because you'll say, look, the odds are on my side. That's the sheet of the Reh and the Rush. Excuse me. How do we paskin? How do we paskin? Let's look at Sivvav. Bali chayim l'shar dvar mechashuvin shenis arvu beheter she'enam betelim afilu be'elef. Right? Any dvar chashav that gets mixed with heter that's not batel. Afilu pirish echam narov achar shenod tarovis. Even if one of them separated after we know that there's a shayla in the tarovis. And one of them separated, it's still usher. Sorry, I should have read. Usher. Yeah, there's the word. Usher. Even pirish is usher. Why? Or when? Who shefrishu miskafein? What is this gzeira on pirish? If you made a pirish on purpose, aval pirish memeila shari. But if it was pirish on itself, then it is mutter. So this is the psak of the mechaber. He passed like the shiltos and the rashba and one version of the tam. They mean the gzeira on people who do tricks to do pirish on purpose. But if it was an innocent pirish by itself, there's no gzeira. Very reasonable. However, says the Ramah. The Ramah actually doesn't say anything. However, all the Achronim say, the Shach and the Taz and the Gra, again, I'm not talking about Sephardim, for us Ashkenazim, they say, look, that's the Rashba, but we Ashkenazim, and it might be, it's Rabbi Natam also. He's that Mekel or else more Mekel. But still, we Ashkenazim can give more credence to the Rosh, and there are a number of late Ashkenazic Rishonim and Paskin like the Re and the Rush. So therefore, say the Shach and the Taz and the Gra that we Ashkenazim hold like the Re and the Rush, and we ask for even Pirish Mameila. So the Shach and the Taz and the Gra Paskin like the Re and the Rush. I'll just read you a line. It says the Shach, but the Rush and other poskim were machmir. Then look at the Kachos of my Rabbi Goshari Dura, the Kachos of Marshal, Perkin Anosh, the Kachos of Isra Heter, the Gamma Rabbi Torres Chatas wrote, etc., and the Api Ravravi. Okay, basically, since we're Ashkenazim, we'd be machmir like the Re on this, even if it was Pirish innocently, there's still a Xera. So basically, it's paradoxical. In a real Kavud, the Raisa, there's no Xera on Pirish. But in this Durabana, the Rechashavino Batal, there are Gozer either on Pirish, Adu Kavua. And it makes sense, because this Durabana, the Rechashavino Batal, people are going to take lightly and violate the Duraisa. So there's no chance that anyone's going to violate, because, like, why would anyone purposely go to a trade store? Okay, that's how we Paskin like the. Sorry. Like the Re and the Rush. However, says Rabbi Kiva Eger here, in his comment on the Shach, Minchas Yaakov, Sifkat and Gemel Kazim, they have some Meruba Yesh LaHakel. And this is in a few Ashkenazi Rishonim. So this is for. But what do we say? if there's Hefzan Meruba, then we can rely on the Mechaber. This is Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Minchas Yaakov, the Chachmas Adam, and all the later Achronim say that if there's no Hefzan Meruba, we're Machmel like the Ri. If there's Hefzan Meruba, then we take the middle sheet of the Rasp and the Sholtos. We never rely, I mean, unless it's one of many Snifim, on the other version of Rabbeinu Tam. That's too makel. Now, this last Rama is actually a very difficult Rama for two reasons. Number one, because it seems to be against the Gemara in Tzvachim. And number two, because we're not sure what the Svara is. So let's try to read this Rama and understand at least on a basic level. Says the Rama, V'hada asr mefishu miskaving, when is there an Isser? Hainish lo pirish rak ma'at. When is the Isser gzira parashat to gavua? When some of them were parashat, some of them stayed b'makom ha'kvios. Meaning some stayed in Tarobis and some were parish. V'nisharu mitzas asurim b'mkoman. Some stayed in the place and some left. Az chayshin shum yikram in a kavua gamke. And that's when we make the gzera of all this parashat kulam b'yachad. But if they all separated, v'lodashar b'mkoman, and no, nothing stayed in place, meaning stampede, the whole herd stampeded, uv'shasach yirasam pirshu k'sasad, and then when they uprooted, some of them left. Osan Shapir Shuaz Mutar, the ones that left are Mutar. Rakshay Machronim Asurim, except the last two are Asur. Why do the last two have to be Asur? Right, because you have to be consistent. Let's say there were 10. You ate one, you assumed it's Mutar. You ate another, assumed it's Mutar. Ate another, assumed it's Mutar. Basically, and then there were three left. If one of them is Pirish, you assume it's Mutar. Once there are two left, now there's no roof anymore. Now there's a Tarovis. You're still assuming the Isser is there because you never had a reason to think it left. And therefore, it's now 50-50, the last two are Isser. Okay, that's not such a big sacrifice. Okay, so instead of one being Isser, two are Isser. Not the end of the world. Okay, but what's this Rama? So this is difficult for a few reasons. Number one, if this trick works, why didn't they suggest that in the Gemara in Tzvachim to solve the problem? And number two, what exactly is the case and what exactly is the Svara? So this is very unclear. Without getting into it very deeply, there are three answers in the Mefarshim why they didn't suggest this in the Gemara in Tzvachim. One answer is, like, why didn't they suggest this trick in Tzvachim? The Taz says, this Kulamra is for Chulin. But in Kodshim, they were gozer not to allow this. And he points out this is similar, not similar, but you know, at least somewhat similar to the other Rabbeinu Tam. Parallel, I would say. Okay, the Shach says, you're not allowed to do this, there's only if it happened to be of it. And the Gra says that the Ramas only make it if they stampeded by themselves, not if you made them stampede. And that's why they couldn't suggest it in the Gemara. So, there are...
What's the difference between the Shach and the Gra?
The difference seems to be the Shach says you can't make it happen lechachila, but if you did, you could rely on it. The Gra says no, if you did it, you can't even rely on it b'dieved. But you're right, they're awfully similar. So again, in this Rama Sif Vav, okay, you have 2 minutes. There are a few questions. Number one is why didn't they suggest this in the Gemara? So the Taz says, the Kodshim Gazru. And the Shach says, Lichatchila Gazru. And the Gra says, Im Asa, the Kavana, Gazru, Af B'dieved. Right? That's the difference between the Shach and the Gra. Okay, so that's why they didn't discuss it in the Gemara. The next question is, why is there no Xera here? Why doesn't the Gzeira apply here? Why aren't we gozer shemi yikach min hakavua? Right? Why aren't we gozer shemi yikach min hakavua? So here there are two basic approaches. The pshat, the taz says, because it's a heker gadol. You did something so different in this case that no one's going to confuse it with kavua. Heker gadol, right? Basically, you did, it's so strange that no one will think you can stam take from the kavua. After all, if we said that you could just make one or two of them, run around, then we would say, okay, well, someone might think I can just take one. But over here, we have to make them all run around. So therefore, that's so weird that it's not similar to a normal case. However, the pashtus is like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and this is the pashtus of the Ramah, right? Rabbi Akiva Eiger is very explicit about this, and this is the pashtus of all the achronim, is that it's very simple. Is that, well, actually gets a little tricky, is that when, excuse me, sorry, the gzera shem yikach min kavua doesn't mean maybe someday you'll take from kavua. The gzera is only you'll take from this kavua. But if they were all piresh, then there's no kavua left to take from. Right? So the gzera only applies, is only that you might take from this tarovis. Not that you might take from a similar case. The Taz thinks the Gzeira is you might in a similar case be Mako. Says, but it's such a strange and so different that you won't confuse it. Right? He assumes the Gzeira is Atu similar cases. After all, don't do Parish because in similar cases you might do Kavua. So the answer is you do it so weird you're not confused with other cases. But the Pasha, like Rabbi Yehuda, says, no, the Gzeira is you might take from this case, not tomorrow if it happens again. Don't take one that's parish, because you might go and take from the kavius. But if there is no kavua left, then the gzera doesn't apply. The gzera only applies if there's some kavua left to take from. But over here, they all turned into parish. If they all became parish, then there's no kavua left. And if there's no kavua left, then the gzera doesn't apply. And we're not gozer up to next time.
So I think somebody has two different questions with different answers for each question.
One answer is, what's the svara? And one answer is, whatever the svara is, why didn't they use that in the Gemara? Right? Meaning, if the svara is heker gadol, why not suggest that in the Gemara? As a practical eitza. To resolve the problem. Right? Why didn't they suggest this in the Gemara as an Eitzah? Right? Why didn't the Gemara say you could do this? If there's a Svara, why didn't the Gemara use the Svara? So either because in Kachin they were gozer not to rely on the Svara, or in Lechachil they were gozer not to rely on the Svara, or because they only rely on the Svara if it happened by accident.
Do we have a Hafra in
the Talmud for this? It doesn't come up all that often. so I'm not sure. Pasha's not like the Taz. Right? Pasha's not like the Taz. Meaning, l'chachila, don't do it. Okay. Now, there's something else a little funny here in the Lashon of the Ramah, which the Ramah said something up. They were all parish, and then when they were all parish, some of them left. Like, what's this two-step process, right? Why does the Ramah say that in this parish of Kulon, Biyachad, first they were all parish, and then some of them left? Like, what?
Aren't they all resettling down?
Yeah, if you believe everything in the Shach. Which is just as good odds as leaving anything in any other kachron, right?
Yeah, it works out.
The shach's work. Okay.
And you move it around.
Ah,
like
so the shach says, the Ramah's telling you a chiddush. If they all scatter, even if they then reconvene, it's not kavu anymore. Meaning, once they scatter, even if they reconvene, it's still considered parsh. And that's the Ramah's chiddush. If they scatter, even if they reconvene, then whatever separates is called parsh. The the Gros says, and this is a big machlokas, Rishonim in Yoma, actually, and something we don't have time to get into now. The Gros says, no, it means they all traveled together. And then while they were traveling together, once, you know, got lost on the side. And the Gros says, the Chiddush is, when they all travel together, that's not called Kavua. It's an interesting question. If you have, again, I'm not talking about real Kavua, well, even real Kavua Doraisa. If they're all moving together, does that take away the kviyas or no? Since they're all together, it's still kavua. The point is they all moved like, you know, in formation, but that broke the kviyas, and then whatever you take on the side is not kavua, or they all scattered and then reconvened and that broke the kviyas. Okay, we're not going to pask in these ones. We're going to go on to Siv Zion. Zev, I'm going to need your help. Siv Zion has a kula. The Gemara has a kula here. Says Siv Zion, Dorish Einu Batal Machmas Chashivuso. Could go Bali. Oh, sorry, I didn't finish the above. Even this arbatan goes treifin b'ksheiros and into beitz b'nehem. What if you have a tyrovis of treifin kosher hens? They're alive animals, so they're not butthole. And then one of them lays an egg, and you don't know which. You find an egg. Habeitzim uteris. The egg is mutter. Avgav the hanagolim chashuv mos batli. Even though the chickens are chashuv and not butthole, the gabi beitzos lina baserupa. The hens are usher, but the egg is mutter. Why? Why is the egg mutter? It shouldn't be a hard question. The egg was parsed from the hens, right? The egg was parsed from the hens. So the egg is mutter, meaning you don't say the egg is a continuation of the hen. No, the egg is a new thing that came out of the hen, and therefore it's parish and it's mutter. Obviously, this is against, not obvious. Okay, let's go on to Siv Zayin. Right, something that's not bottle and tarov because it's chashiv, like one of these things, or darshish matirin, which is not because of chashivas, but it has its own reason. It's not bottle. Shinis arid ba'achirim. V'nechal echmei meshogeg. One of them got accidentally eaten. One of them is gone. Right, ben shachul atz meshogeg, ben shachul achir meshogeg. Whether you ate it or someone else ate it. O nafal me'atul yam, or it fell into the ocean. Right. V'inishenem na'olam, in a way that it's gone. Meaning, I don't mean like it just, you know, fell into your driveway or it fell into your swimming pool. And it's gone. Basically, one of them was destroyed. Either in a useful way, by eating, or in a non-useful way, by falling into the ocean. Now, all of a sudden, you have grounds to think of a kula. On the one hand, we said there were all also to the tarovis and there's an isser in there. But maybe there's not an isser in there now, right? Maybe the isser's gone. So, now, obviously, we wouldn't really assume the Isser's gone, because the odds are that it wasn't the Isser that fell in. But given that, remember, Dabar Chashay in the bottle is only a drabbanan in the first place. Midar Raisa, everything's bottle baru. I mean, I'm not talking about Lach Palach. No, Yosh Yosh. Midar Raisa, everything's bottle baru. Midar Rabbanan, Dabar Chashay is not bottle. But over here, maybe the Dabar Chashay is gone. So maybe you could say, maybe the Dabar Chashay is gone. Maybe it's not, and even if the Dabar Chashav is here, let me eat one, because maybe it's going to be the Asr one, maybe the Butter one. Right? Maybe you can find grounds to be Makel. And I think there's a tension here in Chazal. On the one hand, they were Gozer and Dabar Chashav in a Butter. They really wanted to be Machmer, but on the other hand, that's a big Chumrah. That causes a lot of, of economic damage. So they want to throw in some kulas also. In cases where it wouldn't appear to be, you know, making it, you know, to me, undermining the halacha, they threw in some kula. So this is one of the kula. If one of them is destroyed, then what happens? Hu tru kol acherim. The rest become mutter. So nutol nomer ha'isser halachlo. Because we can assume that perhaps the isser got destroyed, And even if this are still here, so still, it's only one of them, and the one you're eating is probably not usher. That's the kula that's mefurish in the Gemara of Nafal Echel Liyam HaGadol, if one of them is destroyed. Now, there are a few restrictions on this. One restriction is what we already saw hinted at in the Mechaber, which is, when can we use this kula of one of them being destroyed? Only if it got destroyed when?
On its own.
Only if it got destroyed on its... Only if it got destroyed on its own. And this is... okay, let's look in the Lashon. It said if it fell into the sea by itself. What if you threw it into the sea? Then it would seem that we would not let you use this hetter. Why? They say, Gzira Shogi got to mazid. You can't do, it's like Bittlus and Achil of mazid. You can't purposely throw one into the sea to matter the Torah. Because that just makes a joke out of the whole Isser, right? If you always throw one into the sea, then it's a joke. There's no such Isser. Right? It's only happened by accident. And we don't trust you that it's an accident. And therefore, if it fell into the sea, if you threw it into the sea, it's usher because we don't trust you that it was an accident. If it fell into the sea by itself, then we trust you. Why in the beginning of the Mechaber, if you ate it b'shogeg, we trust you that it was an accident? Because we don't think you're going to eat something usher on purpose. If you ate it, it must have been an accident. No one would eat treif. Even Darbonin treif. Right? So if you ate it, we trust you it was an accident because no one would want to eat treif. If you're willing to eat treif, you don't need this halach in the first place. Just close the Shulchan Aruch and go eat treif. Right, obviously, there's someone who doesn't want to eat treif, right? But it thrown into the sea, we're choshesh that a shogeg was really amazing. So let's just.
It's only maybe treif. Like
no, but if you're willing to eat maybe treif, then you also don't need this halacha, right? Then just eat the whole thing and be done with it. Obviously, you want to keep the halacha, right? Obviously, you don't want to eat anything usser. You would prefer to be moderate, but you won't eat something usser. So therefore, what do we say here is the famous kula of Nafal Echad Mehem. Lit Yam Hagadol. What are the conditions? There are three conditions for this kula. One is that only ba'atzmo or b'shogeg, not if you did it b'mezid. That would be a joke. And what's the diak of the mechaber? Which I mean, it's not like you're making the diak of the mechaber. The Ronan point out that Yosef quoted the Rishonim, the Ri who made this diak. Sorry. And here we have a machlokes, the shach. Disagrees and says that even if you ate it b'shogeg, we're still machmer, we're still gozer against the machaber. And therefore, let's see. He pilo liyam hagadol b'shogeg, his aser atumezit. Achal Yisrael. B'shogeg. What if a Jew ate a b'shogeg? Not if a dog ate it. That's like namagadol. Then the mechaber is meduyak. That it's mutter. The mechaber is meduyak. That it's mutter. But the shach and the taz are machmer on this. So here, mechaber says mutter. The shach and the taz say usher or gozer, even in this case, that you might like feed it to someone b'mezid and say it's shogeg, even though we really explained that's unlikely. Some of the echron who say b'makom hefsid you can be mako, b'makom tzorich you can be mako. Here the achronim hikilu b'makom tzorich, because really the svar of the mechaber is good here. Like, what, we're really afraid that you'll eat or feed a Jew treif b'mezid and say shogeg? No, you're not going to eat treif. Another case, though, which I'll just point out, is
Where does it say this? Here it is. In the Shach Sifkatan Lamed, the Shach Sifkatan Mem and Mem Beis points out that, but if he peel O Ochal Kodem Shinoda Hataroves, then it's mutter. That's by definition b'shogeg. Have to be mason if you don't know there's an isser here. If you did it b'shogeg before you even knew it was an issue, then the gzera doesn't apply. So if you didn't even know there's an issue, we don't have a big gzera, you might do b'mason. Okay, so halacha l'maisa, this only if it happens by itself, or you do it by accident before you even know there's such a thing as tarovus, before you, there's even a late sasafi, before you know it's a halachic issue, then clearly it was honest. But if you accidentally threw it into the sea or fed it to a dog after you knew it was an issue, we don't believe it was an accident, and it's not mutter. And if you accidentally fed it to a Jew, then that's controversial. That's one issue. The next issue is the Gemara says, only shnayim, only two. And here is the machlokes between the Rambam and the other Rishonim, what this means. What did the Rambam say it means? Okay, what did the other Rishonim say it means? Says the Mechaber, the davka she'ochel nazar shtayim, you have to eat the rest two at a time, to use this heter. B'yachad, the miman of shach ikachad edetei rav alochel achaz achaz asr. Says the Mechaber, this heter is a big condition. If one of them falls in the Yamagadol, they're all now mutter, only if you eat them two at a time. Not if you eat them one at a time. Okay.
Why is it hot? It's not bottle. It's not bottle. Meaning three at a time would make more sense to me.
No, because it was really bottle originally, one in 100.
Right.
So what's the svar of two at a time? So he says, when you eat two at a time, at least one of them is mutter. Basically, it's like this. When you eat two at a time, they're coming from a tarovis, which might not have had an isser at all, because maybe the isser fell into the sea. On the one hand, it's coming from a tarovis, which might not even have had a vada isser, because maybe it fell in the sea. On the other hand, just what's in your hand has vada heter. So there are two. At least one of them has to be mutter.
It also increases the odds of having mutter.
Yes, that's why it increases the odds of having isser.
Isser.
Yes. So it's strange. Because on the one hand, obviously if you eat two, the odds are slightly higher that it's straight than if you eat one. But on the other hand, if you're looking at it like what it looks like, two looks more like heter than isser, because at least one of them is mutter. So you definitely have a presence of heter, a strong presence of heter. There's vade heter in my hand. A weak presence of isser. Because these two only came from a tarovus that had isser, and even that tarovus might not have had isser because it fell into the yam. And therefore, they said, since you have more of a felt presence of Isser, less of a felt more of a noticeable presence of Heter, and less of a noticeable presence of Isser, therefore, you can be Mako. Now again, this seems to be more just what it looks like, what the impression it makes on you. L'chor, the story here is, Chazal, the one who wanted to be Mako, to give you Kula, so you won't lose so much money. On the other hand, didn't want to make a joke out of the Isser. Like, want to make it feel like they weren't undermining the Isser. So in this case, when you eat two at a time, it doesn't feel like you're undermining the isser, because you feel like what you're eating is heter, because there's definitely heter here, and you don't feel so much like what you're eating is isser. It is a uniquely, funny rule, but that is what the most Rishonim and Pshat in the Gemara and the Mechaber say. It means you have to eat two at a time. The Rambam, quoting the Shach here, has a different Shach. Says the Rambam, he says, in the context of the Gemara, it's only referring to small things. It's a little tricky. I mean, the Rambam's tricky in the Gemara. I'm not going to go into it now. Says the Rambam, says, if they are small items, it's only mutter if two fall into the sea. Because one is not so noticeable. Okay, I know this is my cloak, it's still noticeable. We're not getting into this now. this is how you spell? Okay, good enough for you. The
it's not how my word spelled
it. How does word spell it?
With an E.
Yeah, okay, so it's about locus between word and Ben. I'm old fashioned, I always prefer people's computers. Unlike the young people nowadays who prefer computers, and even if they have to communicate with people, they'll only do it via computer.
They're up to.
Yes.
we'll only actually talk to a person,
b'shas hadchak gadol, or if they're Jewish and it's Shabbos. So the Rambam says, it's going back on falling into the sea. It just means that there's small items, then it's only much if two fall into the sea, because that's more noticeable. If one falls into the sea, people don't notice it. Okay. I mean, you noticed it, but the point is, it doesn't make erosion. But that's not the mainstream shot. The mainstream shot is like the Mechaber, means you have to eat two at a time. We're definitely machmer like the Mechaber. Okay, we're not going to go into all the details here, just the main parts. So that's the second part, you have to eat them two at a time. Now, after Ramah, this is based on the Gemara. Also, adam echad lechol is kulam, filo shnebi adam ein lo achlam kulam vas achas. This is very controversial, but the Ramah says the whole heter is based on the fact that maybe the Isra one fell into the sea, and even if the Isra one is still here, I'm probably not eating it. I'm just eating two heter ones. But what if, let's say it was a 10-to-1 tarovus, one fell into a sea and I eat all 10 at once. Then, what do you mean the odds are 10 out of 11? That, either fell into the sea, or else I'm eating it. If it didn't fall into the sea, I'm eating it. So, of course, that's asr. Says the Ramah, you can't eat them at once. Which is a reasonable svara, and it's really based on the Gemara. Says the Ramah, that you can't eat all the rest at once. So if you eat all the rest at once, then what's your tzad l'hakel? Maybe the Isser fell into the Yam, maybe it didn't. But if it didn't, I'm for sure eating it. And that's not, so that one side of the huddle is not enough. And here we have a big machlokes among the Achronim, which I'm not going to totally go into. I'll just briefly mention what counts as eating at once. Right? What counts as at once? So says the Ramah, he says one person can't eat them all, sounds like even at different times, and even many people can't eat them at one time. Okay, that's somewhat controversial. Says the Ramah, how about, one person can't eat all the rest, let's call it together. Right? What counts as together? What if you have Adam Echad, but in two times? Or what if you have one time and two people? So here the Rambam says Asur, even one person, and even two people is Asur if it's at the same time. That's the Rambam. This is controversial. The Shach says... The Shach says that this is mutter. He says, what do you mean? If it's a person of many times, that's mutter. The Taz and maybe the Shach also says this is mutter. Let's just say it's not 100% clear. Right, so this is all controversial. Lamaisa, we're not going to pass any of these things. They don't happen all the time. I'm just going to mention them.
The whole svara is that you can't eat all of them, because then, like you said, 10 out of 11 chances that you are eating that one. So is that true if you be eating the rove then? It doesn't really eat all of them. So you mean, let's say there was 11, right? So now you're eating 6, I guess, so 3, 10, instead of just 5 or 4.
No, I think only for eating all of them. I think if you're not eating all of them, then we still say, well, maybe it fell into the scene. If not, maybe you're not eating it.
Even though it's 9 out of 11.
Yeah. By the way, if the original Tarovus was 2-to-1, it was 3 items, then you can't use the center anymore. Because if one falls into the sea, it's only mutter if you eat the next 2 at once. But if you eat the next 2 at once, you're eating all of them. Okay. Fine, then you lose all 3. Not the end of the world. Okay, let's go to Sifches. Sifches and Tess are about Sveik Sveika. Sveik Sveika is very difficult. to show you how difficult Sveika is. Yes.
Oh, did you get a picture of this part of the board?
Yeah, I think you did. Yes. You definitely did. 100%. Okay. To show you, give you an idea of how difficult Sveik Sveika is, first of all, notice the Shach here has like Cholik Sveik Sveika, Dine Sveik Sveika. That's why this simon is a gazillion pages. First, he goes through Cholik Sveik Sveika, and he gives 36 Cholim. Then he summarizes them B'Katsara. Some of the Katsaras are actually longer. And says 36 again. And if you look at his 36th Klal, I'll just read it to you. I'll read you the short version. Dine Sveik Sveika Amukim Urchavin Mineyam. They're deep and broader than the sea. V'yishmim klol l'yonim harde. A lot of different rules. In yonim shal zeh, lok in yonim shal zeh. V'gdam davar kal v'dak yish l'hafish min zeh l'zeh. Subtle differences can change the halacha. Al-kein ein l'no achshu l'vado shum sveik sveik o'savar yorban l'haka l'um l'davar m'davar. Therefore, nowadays, we do not invent a new application of sveik sveik or even savar yorban l'kula to compare it to something found in Shas and Poskim. In Lawson before Russian Glachan Koman. We'll only rely on something that's Mefurish and Makoros. You can't apply it on your own. Basically says you can't apply it on your own, it's too complicated. Or the things I've mentioned, or something that's mamish the same. But to apply it to a new case, you can't do it on your own. Unless there are other big Sudden Mohaka besides Sveik Sveika. The Gam Zelach Rofa Ion, and even that is only after Ma'im Alat. Says the Shach, you can't apply the rules of Sveik Sveika because they're too hard. The later Achronim reject the Shach. The later Achronim reject the Shach and say, no, a big posek can apply the rules of Sveik Sveika on his own, even Bizman Hazeh. But they admit that a regular rabbi can't apply the rules of Sveik Sveika on his own, meaning you ever wonder, so why does our rabbi say Sveik Sveika? This is, we don't hold like that Shach. Right? We hold a big posek can apply the rules of Sveik Sveika on his own. But for sure we admit that a regular Talmud Chacham cannot apply the rules of Sveik Sveika on his own because they're very difficult. I still encourage everyone to try to tackle them to the best of their abilities at some point. But we'll just read a little Shulchan Aruch and we'll leave it at that. The Shulchan Aruch here deals in Ches and Tes with, as I mentioned, there are two kinds of Sveik Sveika. The classic Sveik Sveika is Beis Sveikos Beguf. This is what yeshivish people know about. What yeshiva bachrim know about. When you only learn, like the yeshiva bachrim maseches, like, you know, as a youngster, what maseches do you know Sveik Sveika from? You don't know what other yeshivish maseches? Ksubas, the beginning, Pesach Pasuach. Right? What is Sveik Sveika? Those are called two Sveikas beguf. Meaning, there's no cheftz of tarovus, just two actual Sveikas about what happened. Right? The husband marries the wife, and turns into Shnana Basula. Well, he said, well, maybe it was ba'onis, maybe it was baratzon. It was ba'onis, then she's not forbidden. Maybe it was baratzon, maybe it was before Erison, maybe after Erison. It was before Erison, not forbidden. Mutter. That is classic Sveik Sveika of Beis Sveikos Beguf. Right? That is mutter. This is the classic Sveik Sveika in Shas. This is like Gorim Sechus Ksubas. And that no one argues about. Why a Sveik Sveika is mutter is controversial. We're not going to go into it fully, but just, you should know, there's a Prima Gadim who says, a Chakira, why Sveik Sveika is mutter? Says the Prima Gadim. Says the Prima Gadim, Bidas HaRambam. He says, because of Safek Rabbanan Lekula. Who remembers the famous Shita of the Rambam? The Rambam's famous Shita is that, Safek D'Oraisa's Lechumra. On who forbade Safek D'Oraisa? So everyone assumes the Torah forbade Safek D'Oraisa. The Rambam says, Safek D'Oraisa is only Asur Midrabanan. If so, then Safek D'Oraisa is only Safek Asur Midrabanan. So Safek D'Rabanan Lekula. That's the Svar of the Rambam. What? Could very well be. It should every once in a while. That's the Prima Gadim speaking on behalf of the Rambam, even though the Rambam never says it. But it could be. The Prima Gadim Das HaRashba, the Rashba almost says this, but not really. He says, you know what Sveik Sveika is according to the Rashba? He says, clearly not Safek D'Rabbanan Lekula. Why? Because the Rashba holds Safek D'Oraisa is Asur Midoraisa. So is Safek D'Oraisa should also be Asur Midoraisa. So why is Safek
Why is Sfeik Sfeik a mutter? He says, Rove Tzdadim. The rule of Rove, but not a regular Rove. Because you don't know the exact odds of the Sfeik Sfeika. Like, let's go back to our friend in Masechus Besuvos who got married and discovered his wife was not a Besuvah. Sfeik Sfeika, he doesn't know the odds. Do you know the odds of Onus and Ratzon and the odds of first and after? I mean, no one knows these odds. These are not things that there's statistics available. Right? So it's not a regular Rove. The Schweitzer, near the beginning, points out that if the Sfeik Sfeika happens, you happen to know the exact odds of each suffix and calculate them, then you can tell if it's a Rove. But he says, stop Sfeik Sfeika, you have two Sfeikos, and you don't know the exact odds of either suffix. So he says, but it's called Rove Tzdadim. What does Rove Tzdadim mean? I'm going to try to cheat a little and assume that you're following me. The way Sfeik Sfeika works is that you can make a chart and three boxes are mutter, one box is usser. Right? If this, then it's mutter. And if this, then if this, it's usser. But if this, it's mutter. Right? So therefore, three out of four boxes are mutter. We might not know the exact statistical numbers in the boxes. That's what we call Rove Tzdadim. It's not a Rove scenario because we never did statistics in the world to tell what usually happens. We don't know the statistics, but we do know there are four possible scenarios. If there are four scenarios, going back to Ksubas, Ones before Erison, Ones after Erison, Ratzon before Erison, Ratzon after Erison. The first three scenarios are Motor, the third is Usser, the fourth is Usser. So that's Rove scenarios. Tzdadim means scenarios are Motor, so it's like a Rove. The Rav said that he didn't think that either of these were the right shot. And I think Rosh Hashanah says the same thing Shari Yosher, but I always have trouble figuring out exactly what Rosh Hashanah is saying. The Rav said a different shot. He said the Rambam never actually said this, the Rashba never actually said this, the Prima Gadim said it, Taka. Not in the Sefer Prima Gadim. In the Sefer, what's it called? It'll come to me when I stop thinking about it. Ginas Rav. The Rav said, and again, I think Rosh Hashanah says this in the Shari Yosher, I'm pretty sure. He says, no, it's not mutter because of Rove, it's not mutter because of Safed Rabbanu Lekula. It's mutter because it's not even, the Rav said a fancy pshat. He said, you only need an answer when you have a question. Question is it usher or mutter? The answer is Rove. The answer is Safed Rabbanu Lekula. Meaning, Rove is Machriya Safed. Suffolk or Ranlakul is Machriya Suffolk. What if you don't have a Suffolk in the first place? Then you don't need to be Machriya. So the Rav changed the ground rules. He says, it's not that we have a Suffolk, we need to figure out which rule is mattering it. Sfeik Sfeika is not a Suffolk. Anytime you can ask, did this happen, it's Usser, or did that happen, it's Mutter, that's a Suffolk. Now you need to answer the Suffolk using a rule. Suffolk or Raisa, Suffolk or Rabbanan, Rav, Chazaka, etc. But anytime you would need to ask two questions before you have a suffix, that's not halachically considered a suffix. It's not a halachic suffix. If it's not a halachic suffix, then we don't have to worry about it in the first place. Like any time I would say it might be usher. Why? Because this might have happened. That's a taka u suffix. How do we resolve it? Anytime I say it might be usher. Why? Because this might have happened and that might have happened. Whoa. You think, that's not a valid question. We're just not choshesh for such weird scenarios. It's not a leitas ha-suffik in the first place. If you can't ask the question in one sentence, then that's not a suffik. I know, you could call it a doubt. You could doubt a lot of things. You know, if you're a very good philosopher, right, then I could doubt that you're sitting here right now. As a matter of fact, right, Descartes, I could doubt that I'm sitting here right now. But that doesn't make it a halachic suffik. Right, it's only a halachic suffix if you could express it as a halachic question. And anytime you need two questions, that's not a halachic question. So that's the Rav says that it's not even a leidas ha-suffix, and therefore you don't need to resolve it. As you can imagine, the nafkaminas may be legion. I'll throw out a few nafkaminas, although there is room for wiggle in these nafkaminas, but for example, there's a big machlok zachronim. Could you be moti mamon based on sfeik sfeika? According to the Prima Gadim, no, because you're not moti mamon based on sfeik derabanan lekula, meaning sfeik mamon is lemosak, and you're not moti mamon based on a rov. You're moti mamon al pi rov. But if it's not even a sfeik, if it's a vaday, of course you're moti mamon based on a vaday. Or, for example, do you have to check if you can?
What if you could check? Efshel levari. So if the Savdir Malakula, everyone knows, you only use Savdir Rabban if you can't check. If you can check, you have to check. If it's a rove, then the standard assumption is you can't rely on a rove. It's a 3-to-1 rove. That's a mean also. You should have to check. But if it's not even a something in the first place, you don't even have to check. That's a psakh Ramal later. You don't have to check. Which is why the rove liked his pshat. Okay, so this is classic yeshiva shlomdus in Sveik Sveika. In the yeshiva bachra, meaning before they get to the urdei stage, or to the advanced mesechtas, they only deal with this kind of Sveik Sveika. However, in halacha, as we pointed out, there's two other kinds of Sveik Sveikas. And here's where it gets tricky. Is every taroves a suffix? I have a taroves, right? I have 4 svarim. One of them is treif, 3 of them are, 4 hamburgers. One of them is treif, 3 of them is kosher, and it's a chatichu rilis kavit, 4 steaks. Chatichu rilis kavit. Obviously, if it was 4 meatballs, it would just be batel shalom on Yisrael. 4 steaks, one of them, I pick up one steak. Suffix, maybe it's the kosher steak, maybe the treif steak. I know I can rely on roves as chatichu rilis kavit. It's like kavua, kemechza al-mechza midrabanan, they were gozer. But it's still a suffix. Does that count as a suffix for our purposes of sveik sveika, or no? Sveik sveika is when there's a suffix whether there's an isser. If you're not sure which is the isser, then you can't use that towards sveik sveika. Okay, this is a very deep question. I'm not going to, in the time we have now, the few minutes we have left, to finish up as much of the service as we're going to finish. I'm not going to explain the lumbus behind it. Let's just see the shitas, very briefly. Ches. Darvish in a bottle of machashi vusish in his ariba achirim. Right, you have a steak, it's mixed with other steaks. The nothly tarovis does achstein achirim. One of those steaks falls into another tarovis with another 2 steaks. The nothla shlosha, and one of those falls into a third tarovis. Echelashayim achirim into a third tarovis. Hare elo achirim mutarim. This third tarovis are all mutter. Sorry, ha echet shal tarovis are shon a bottle barov. Because of bittel barov. And Sveik Sveika. V'yimnafal echemei taroves rishonu le'elef kul masurin. But if there's only 2 taroveses, a steak fell into other steaks, and one of those fell into even 1,000, they're all usher. V'lo nomer batal barov l'hatch Sveik Sveika. You need 3 taroveses. You need bittal barov plus another Sveik Sveika, says the Mechaber. Shim yipo me taroves hashni l'makam acher eino oser. Right? When do we use bittal barov together with Sveik Sveika? If you have 2 tarovuses and then one of them falls someplace else, yeah, bit of a rule plus fake fake is good enough. But just 2 tarovuses are not good enough. That is the psak. This is a big machlokus rishonim. This is mainly a machlokus between the Rambam and the Rashba and Tosfos, where it's unclear where Rashi goes. How about Beis Spekos Bitarovis? Meaning, there's no suffering about the Gufa Dover. Right? There's no suffering about the Gufa Dover. The steak is treif. We just don't know which it is. So it falls into one tarovis, and then all of them fall into another tarovis. Then it would still be the first tarovis. Right? If it fell into 10 steaks, then all 11 of them fell into another 100 steaks. Now it's just a big tarovis of 111. No, it fell into 10 steaks, and one of those, now you see how you could express this as a sveik sveika. I could take the second tarovis and say, maybe it's from the first tarovis, maybe it's not. Even if it's from the first tarovis, maybe it's treif, maybe it's kosher. Is that a valid sveik sveika? Big machlokis. Tosfos says mutter. The Rambam says aser. There's actually 2 gersos in the Gemara, whether there are 2 taroveses or 3 taroveses. And even within that, Tosfos says, it's more, even if you have the gerso of 3, you could really hold 2. Okay, this is a big machlokes. What Rashi holds is controversial, although many people assume he's like the Rambam. How do we paskin? We paskin l'chomra. We paskin that bays, what's the plural of tarovis?
Tarovos,
okay. Is usher, but gimel is mutter, probably based on the gears in the Gemara that has a case of 3 taroveses. That's a we paskin.
What's the svara for that?
What?
What's the svara?
Okay, the svara for that is very difficult. The answer seems to be, according to the Mechaber, the svara is, at least, that you need bittel barov plus a sveik sveika in order to be makel. Meaning, I think what he's trying to say is like this. You can't use a sveik sveika because it's not really a suffix about it. You just don't know which is which. So if you don't know which is which, then that's all one suffix. What do you mean? It's not a
Sveika. It's like one big mixture. Right? It says, ah, but at first you have Bittel Barov, and then something falls out of that. What falls out of that already doesn't have the presence of Isser so much. And then you have another Sveika. Okay. That is good enough, but I admit the svara is very tricky. The svara is very tricky, and the achronim are very complicated here. We're going to leave it. Add the Ramah, mikol makom ein ladam lecha lechol kulon. However, says the Ramah, you can't eat the whole last haroves, because if you eat the whole last haroves, then you vada'i eat one from the second haroves. Then you only have two haroves to rely on, and that's not good enough. V'daka she'isur nesarev hu vada yisur avol safik yisur nesarev v'nafim ilz taroves lokom acher hataroves hashem nishari. But if there's one safik guf plus two taroveses, then that is good enough. So what if you have safik beguf plus two taroveses? Says the Ramah, that's mutter. So let's say a safik yisur gets mixed in with other steaks, and then one of those gets mixed up with other steaks, then that's mutter. You can't eat the whole second taro of this, but you can split it half and half with someone else. Yeshom and Dabar Sheish Latir and the Hatim Kos Sveik Sveikav and Tov L'Hachrim Lo L'Tzorach Me'ach Sheish Lehetab L'Avachi. It's a good question. Can you be Mekel Sveik Sveik and Dabar Sheish Latir? Or that depends on this. If it's Safik Rabbanon, obviously no. If it's Rove, maybe no. If it's that there's no Safik in the first place, of course, can you Mekel? L'maisa, big machlokes. Big machlokes and Beit Zedav Gimel can use the Heter Sveik Sveik on a Dabar Sheish Matirin. The Ramah's Achra is you should be Machmir unless there's a big Tzorach. Unless there's a Tzorach. But if there's a Tzorach, you can be Mekel. And even so, he says, you should be Machmir because, like, just wait for it to be Mutter. Sounds like really it's Mutter. Sveik Sveik and Dabar Sheish Matirin. Just if you can wait, it's better. And let's briefly look at tests. Suffolk Traders and Sarah Ba'achiros. This is the famous Machlokes Rishonim in Beit Zedav Gimel between the Re and Rebbe Natan. A Suffolk treifa that gets mixed with others, meaning Suffolk echad beguf and Suffolk echad b'tarovis. A Suffolk iser gets mixed with other pieces, and there's all talking about if it's realis kabeid or bal chayim or dabshim minyan not batal. Do we say, well, maybe it's the usher one, maybe it's not? Even if it's the usher one, maybe it's the usher, maybe it's mutter. Right? This is the question of where to put the punctuation in the case of the Gemara, where it says you have a suffix trefa, which gets mixed with others, and it's usser. Does that mean if it's a suffix trefa, or if it gets mixed with others, it's usser? But if it's a suffix trefa, then it gets mixed with others, what do you say? Or does that mean it's a suffix trefa? That's Machlokas Re and Rebbe Natan. This is the famous Machlokas Re and Rebbe Natan. The Re says usser, Rebbe Natan says mutter, and we paskin like the Re. What do we paskin? Suffolk traces are bachiris kulon asurus achi behetrik de levatal iser imun varmus batlin. Unless you have enough to be levatalim, it's a non choshev thing of vatal. Why? She came to suffer rishon of begufo ein latirus sveikzveika. If one suffolk is beguf and one suffolk is parovis, we're not mako based on sveikzveika. At the ramah yeshem or atam da aser hova suffolk to iser midoraisa v'lo nuchalom or od suffolk sheinka iser. Some people express it differently. Like, what's the svar of the re? The way the Mechaber sounds like is because it's some sort of lack of tseruf. One suffix beguf, one suffix tarovis, you can't count them together. They're two different realms. Now, don't ask the silly question of, even if they're both tarovis, it wouldn't work according to the Mechaber. Or if you do it, it's not a simple, don't ask the good question. If you do, then look at them first and they answer it. Why? The Mechaber sounds like, okay, the Shach is a whole discussion exactly how they disagree, that it seems to be a lack of tseruf. Since they're two different types of sveikos, they're not mitzarev. The Ramah says, "Hova suffiku isur midoraisa." Since the first suffik, a suffik beguf is asur midoraisa, here we see he's not like the Rambam. He holds a suffik doraisa is asur midoraisa. Lo nuchalor old suffik in kan isur. There's not another suffik beguf. In kan isur means suffik beguf. Maybe it's never asur in the first place. Rachas arvah here just gets parovas lo mikri sveik sveika ve asur. It's not called sveik sveika, and it is. It is usser. So, says the Ramah, because first suffix is usser midoraisa, so adding a taroves is not matter. What he seems to imply is that if the first Safik would have been only Asur Midrabanan somehow, and then it was Nisari V'Acheros, then it would have been grounds to be Mekel. Right, although it's pretty rare, because usually Safik Drabanan is Lekula. But if you have a rare case for the first case, it's very rare, is a Safik Drabanan.
Chicken and milk.
But if it's a Safik, not chicken and milk, it would have been Mutter Stan. You know, so it's going to be it's going to be tricky. It's only going to be a case like, you know, like Basher Salman Ayin, which is only a suffix. There are bunner if it goes into Choshesh for some weird case. Anyway, continuing, says the Rama, Avolim Hayishnei Sfeikas Vayikanes Rechlal. There are two Sfeikas whether in the Shur in the first place, what we call two Sfeikas Beguf, which hasn't been mentioned yet. Here he mentioned the Nodush Sfeikas Yak, and you realize them both at the same time. Matirim Sfeikas Vayikam Achom Lachab, where matter always fake fake. I mean, two fake is the guff is always mutter. He puts an interesting a condition here. He says, only if you realize them both at the same time. It sounds like if you realize one on Monday and one on Tuesday, they're not mitzarif. Like, you realize one on Monday, it's usher. When you realize another on Tuesday, it's too late to mitzarif them. That's very controversial. A real sfeik sfeik of beguf is mutter in all cases, even if it's shaila d'oraisa and it's the actual iser. Even against cheskas iser. Sfeik sfeik beats cheskas iser. You go to ovshiv cheskas iser omei. Okay, what kind of cheskas iser? This is controversial, but a chicken, when it's alive, is the cheskas iser. Then it was shechted. The nishvar nishvat gapo. And then you find that its wing was broken or dislocated. Saving a chaim alach shchita. Sveik sveika. Maybe it broke after it was dead, in which case it can't make it a treifa. Or maybe it broke when it was alive. And even either it broke when it was alive. Shevelo nakvareya. Normally, if the wing breaks, where choshesh might have punctured the lung because it's very close and very easy to puncture. There's not a lot in between. And therefore, the rule is if a chicken has a broken wing, it's treif or choshesh for puncturing the lung. But what if we find it later that it was treif? So maybe that was broken. Maybe it broke after death, when the butcher shop. And even broken is a lie. Maybe it punctured lung, maybe it didn't. That's fake sveika. Yitzvahat b'gav sveik sveika. We're matter because it's fake sveika. Even though when it was alive, it was b'chezgas iser. And then he says, afi sheish levar el debidikas areya ein lochosh. Even though you could just check by checking lung, you don't have to. That the Rama says, if there's a fake sveika that is butcher, you don't even have to check, even if you can. That's controversial. We paskin that. If it's not a hefzid, you should check. But that's how far the Rama relies on Sfeik Sfeika. Okay. Yud actually has nothing to do with our simen. It's just one of these things that like could come up in a case that has to do with our simen. Because our simen is, like a lot of things, our simen were a case where you shecked a lot of animals and then discovered one of them was treif by one of the organs and you don't know which it is. So he says, Reya treif hashim sepein reyes shiris. You have a pile of lungs, and one of them you see is treif. For Amar Bodek, you ask the Bodek, the Mashkiyam, the memories. How can you give a hexer this factory? There's one treif lung. Show your devil, sir. No, I knew there was an adhesion on that lung. Vishkog in a sarfa also rare treif, but that shares well, you're a fuss of your boof, you're like Tarovis. Basically, this is the Nemonis. Yeah, nothing with Tarovis. You walk into a schlachthaus and you find a pile of lungs, and one of them has an adhesion, it's treif. You go to the Mashkiyam and say, what are you doing here? There's a treif animal in this factory. He says, oh, what a mistake. But it wasn't a mistake that I didn't notice the treif animal. I noticed the treif animal. I already threw it to the dogs. And I put the lung on the side. And someone must have brought the lung of the treif animal back. But the treif animal, I know I threw to the dogs. Do you believe him? Or do you say, no, maybe he mixed in? And it's Chatzir Ruluskavi. The answer is, we trust the Mashkiach in that case, and we rely on him. Okay, nothing to do with our simon. Just, you see how it comes up in similar kinds of cases. Okay, we will have to... I'll have to leave some Kufyat Aleph for you to fill in. Behizdamnut. And the whole Klali Sveik Sveika is very complicated. I'll have to also leave that Behizdamnut. We're going to continue Mirtz Hashem now with Hilchas Machli Akon for a week. And then Hilchas Kalim. So. Yes. So Machli Akum was really Kufyat Beis, Kufyat Gimel.